Chapter 13. The Transports to Auschwitz and Treblinka. The death machinery was in full swing now in the middle of 1942. Even the last optimists who had believed in survival gave up. Jews were transported from all cities and countries to Auschwitz and Treblinka. The Endlösung was no longer a secret. Everybody talked about death. That direct transports no longer went from Regen to the extermination camp of Treblinka was attributed to Liechtenstein, the elder of the Jews. The real reason was, however, that there were only a few Jews left, and so it was not worthwhile to use trains anymore for these few. So the Regen transport went only as far as Mijerchek, the closest regional collection point, and from there on to Treblinka and Auschwitz. Mr. Grünblatt and Mr. Liechtenstein felt so protected that they no longer let themselves be influenced in composing lists. Only those who were extremely privileged and had something special to offer were allowed to see them. Gold and valuables had lost their power. Selection became more difficult for Liechtenstein and Grünblatt. The order of preference was the following: the elderly, the sick, those unable to work, dependents of workers, critics, complainers, and undesirables. The commodity called Jews was now in short supply. Still, the death machinery would continue working as long as a single Jew was still alive. The resettlement of Jews from Regen to Mijerchek took place in the following manner. On the prearranged day, 50 to 100 or more peasants were ordered to appear early in the morning with their horse wagons in the Jewish district to Skolna Street, where they formed a convoy. The Judenrat and the Jewish police called out the name of the Jews on the list. The German and Polish police watched to make sure everything went according to the rules. In the event of any minimal resistance against the Jewish police, which happened often enough, the Gestapo rushed in with pistols, which made the trip superfluous for that particular candidate. Patient and usually apathetic, the condemned took their few belongings, a pillow and a blanket, said a last goodbye to their relatives, and took their place in the convoy. There were often heartbreaking scenes, since many families lost several members simultaneously. Those who stayed behind accompanied them, as if they also had been sentenced to the guillotine, knowing that it would soon be their turn. None of the closely guarded transports arrived without any dead. That was known. Soon after beginning the trip to Mijerchek, which was 25 kilometers from Regen, a vehicle with Gestapo officials usually appeared. The Gestapo then shot arbitrarily at the line of wagons, each time killing 10 or 15 people. Shortly before arriving at Mijerchek, the convoy was welcomed by police and the SS in the same way, eliminating more people. The survivors who came into the ghetto Mijerchek disappeared among the nameless and condemned, and vegetated until they were sent to the Treblinka camp. The trains to the extermination camps rolled along, and there was an increase in the number of cases of young people jumping off moving trains and returning to the town. From them we learned that the number of people, particularly young ones, who were jumping off the trains was quite high. The people knew that they were being driven to their deaths, so as soon as the first ones jumped, it became contagious, and some cars arrived almost half empty. Unfortunately, many of the jumpers lost their lives, since SS officials would shoot continually from their hiding places. Many of those fleeing were hit, some were wounded, and remained lying somewhere. Those who escaped uninjured had to rely on the mercy of the Poles. Most of the train jumpers, whether wounded or injured, were robbed, killed, or turned over to the Gestapo for a shameful bounty of 1 kilogram of sugar or bacon. We never will know how many Jews who jumped off trains lost their lives on the tracks to Treblinka, Majdanek, and Auschwitz, because of the sins of others. Very few of those who jumped returned to the ghettos. We did not dare talk about the train jumpers in the ghettos, because the Gestapo had its informers everywhere. For that reason, we created a code word for jumping off trains, tralala. Where did you come from? Tralala meant I jumped. Since it was important to all of us, we soon exchanged instructions in the art of jumping. The jump had to be in the rhythm with the movement of the train and in the same direction, like diving into water. Landing only in soft dishes, never on bushes, trees, or rocks, was recommended. An inside curve was not suitable because it increased the danger of being shot by the SS. It was also advisable to carry a sharp knife with which the walls of the car could be slit open. Only in this way could one gain access to the bolt on the outside of the door.